Hello and welcome to the debate right here at Press TV. I'm Marcia Hashemi. Saudi Arabia, a country which has been involved in terrorism and wars, will it now get what it deserves from the international community? Will it be ostracized now that the CIA is pointing the finger at the Crown Prince Mohammed bin Salman for ordering the murder of dissident Saudi journalist Jamal Khashoggi? That is not very likely, as it seems that for certain countries in the West, when it comes to the Saudis, money talks and human rights walk. Well, let's start tonight's debate with an update from Press TV's Susan Mudars in New York. Susan, thanks so much for being with us. Let's talk about the reaction overall thus far in the U.S. about this latest revelation.
The latest revelation on the part of the CIA. First of all, it was a shock, but I'll give you the latest. This morning, U.S. President Donald Trump, while he was leaving on the front lawns of the White House to California to see the devastation of a wildfire that's going on over there, he called Mohammed bin Salman a spectacular ally to the United States. He said he has not been briefed by the CIA, and he will speak to Mike Pompeo regarding the involvement of the Saudi Crown Prince in the murder of this Washington Post journalist, Jamal Khashoggi. But there are two points. First of all, we now know what the CIA heard. The first thing that they heard was that bin Salman was talking to his brother, Khalid, who is also the ambassador to Washington here, and saying that we need to get Khashoggi into Riyadh somehow. And the second phone call was between the Saudi ambassador to Washington, again, Prince Khalid, which is the brother of Mohammed bin Salman, talking to Khashoggi and telling him that he would be safe if he would go to the consulate in Riyadh. These are the two things that they have revealed so far. We don't know what else they have intercepted, but everything points to the fact that the Crown Prince was indeed involved, which puts Donald Trump in a very odd and peculiar situation, considering that he sent his Secretary of State there, and the Saudis went out and said that we assure you that there is no involvement on the part of the Saudi monarch. And then you have these revelations, and we have what Donald Trump is concerned most about, which is trade ties and security issues with Saudi Arabia. $45 billion in trade ties. Saudi Arabia is the first to buy U.S. weapons anywhere in the world, three times more than the second runner-up, which is Australia. And then you have the security measures and security situations, which both are concerned about Iran and Iran's influence in the region. So we have to wait and see which side prevails. It's not just Donald Trump. Congress has already imposed sanctions on individuals, 17 individuals, I believe, in Saudi Arabia. But this is something, as we are seeing more and more unfold day by day, that it's not the work of rogue individuals, as President Donald Trump said. We now have evidence that it goes possibly up until the Saudi monarch, and we have to see what the United States and the international community and the free world will do and react to this.
All right. Well, thank you so much for that update. Out of New York, Susan Mudars. And, of course, as she said, looking at Donald Trump and how he will react. And, of course, we know traditionally how the United States have been reacting to the Saudis. Well, let's get this program started. I'd like to welcome my guest to the program, journalist and political commentator Brian Downing out of Washington, D.C., and journalist and Middle East expert Hossein Al-Mousavi out of Beirut. Thank you both for being with us. Well, let's start this off with Brian in D.C. What does it mean when the U.S. president says spectacular when talking about Saudi ties or the Saudi crown prince, even after this has been revealed by the CIA, although he said he had not been briefed?
Well, I think it underscores what we already know, is that the president wants to keep the status quo with Saudi Arabia. And if there's anything I can read into this CIA leak, It is that the CIA is objecting to American foreign policy. It is objecting to President Trump's foreign policy, not simply on the Middle East, but also elsewhere. I think there are people in the CIA and military and other security bureaus who are deeply worried that the U.S. is a little too antagonistic towards NATO, which, after all, has been the cornerstone of American foreign policy for 70-some years. I think also there's a little disquiet over the president's ties to Russia. Now, I don't know all the findings that the Mueller probe will come up with, but we do know that the president-elect, when President Trump was president-elect, his national security advisor, General Flynn, met with Russian officials. His son, Donald Jr., met with Russian officials. His future attorney general met with Russian officials. Well, this is very troubling stuff. Now, shifting to the Middle East, I think it's quite possible that people in security bureaus, including the CIA, mm-hmm. are a little distrustful of a powerful Saudi Arabia. After all, the thrust of American foreign policy now, in conjunction with Israel and Saudi Arabia, is to gravely weaken Iran, which will, of course, greatly strengthen Saudi Arabia. I don't think a greatly strengthened Saudi Arabia is in American national interests. It already has close ties with Egypt and Pakistan, which are countries with very large and pretty effective armies. I don't really think we want a strong Saudi Arabia.
All right. What about that, Hossein al-Mousavi? It's an interesting point that has been made. Do you think that this is a clash actually between the security apparatus in the United States and President Donald Trump and the overall significance of this information being leaked out by the CIA itself?
Yes, first of all, just a quick reminder to your guest in Washington, Mr. Bryan, the U.S. does want a strong Saudi Arabia simply because there is arms trade. I think you forgot the fact that there is $110 billion the deal's still on, and not even a quarter of the amount has reached the U.S. Therefore, President Trump wants, and he's certain, and he's trying his best to make sure that the $110 billion deal does go through. Therefore, President Trump wants a strong Saudi Arabia, or at least a Saudi Arabia that is still alive and still surviving in the region. He does not want to break Saudi Arabia. However, today, what I can see, and after the leaked information by the CIA, today they are trying to really bring to send the ball back into Trump's court. We know Trump's been defending MBS for quite some time. I think today he had also comments, and also Mr. Pence as well in his Asia tour, he was asked a question and he said that he will wait until what Trump has to say on this in this regard. If the information leaked by the CIA is true, and I'm not defending the CIA, no, I'm not also a defender of Mr. Jamal Khashoggi, I'm not a fan of him. However, if this information is true, it's time that we say goodbye to Mohammed bin Salman. It's time that Mohammed bin Salman, he must be sent to the criminal court for his actions. If the information is true, therefore he's a criminal. And therefore today, I think the credibility of the US is on the line. If the CIA, which is the biggest intelligence agency in the world, and according to the phone calls, and I read the report, if this all is true, therefore he must be sent to the criminal court. Not the criminal court, he must be sanctioned. Change must happen inside Saudi Arabia. Therefore today, I think the headline of what's going on is that the ball has been put back in Trump's court, and we want to see how Trump in the next few days will react.
Okay. Well, Brian, more than 6 weeks have passed since Khashoggi walked into the Saudi consulate in Istanbul and, of course, never walked out. Now, it appears that Turkey had the information from the very beginning of what really went on. Do you think that there has been a lot of wheeling and dealing between the Saudis, the Turks, and the Americans since then?
Well, there's wheeling and dealing. I'm not sure there's anything in concert between those three powers. Clearly, Turkey is very worried about growing Saudi influence in the region for the things I mentioned a few minutes ago. The Turks are basically supportive of the Muslim Brotherhood, a group that is has a very broad popular base throughout the Middle East and even in Saudi Arabia, according to some reports I see, about 20% of the young people support the Muslim Brotherhood. So I think Erdogan, the Turkish president, is using this incident, this murder, to humiliate the Saudis, to make them look bad in the world, and to gain leverage throughout the Middle East.
Okay, when we look at the situation now with the American media, Hossein, we have recently seen reports that Washington was considering deporting Fethullah Gulen from the U.S. to try to appease Ankara for their silence in this case. Your take, what exactly would that mean if the U.S. was willing to deport him or talking about deporting him? Many say it was to basically make sure that the Turks really don't point the fingers at the Saudis. Your analysis of this side of things?
Well, of course, as I agree with your guest, what he just said earlier. Today, what's going on in Turkey, and most notably about the Gulen issue, it's because Turkey is trying to have some sort of influence in the region. And there is this rift between the US and Turkey, and most notably the issue of Gulen. Therefore, the Turks are trying to, if I can say, to blackmail Saudi Arabia, to make sure to have some sort of political gains in the region. The issue of Gulen is only one of the sticking points between Turkey and the US. There are other major issues that must be highlighted on. Today, I know for a fact that the Turks have been informed by the US that they do not, they cannot have a greater influence in the region. The US does not want the Turks to have greater influence simply because their failures in Syria and most notably in the past few years, their failures in the region, there is a lot of trust lost between the US and the Turks. So I guess the issue of Gulen, I don't think it's very much related to this probe. However, there will be a time where the US will try to bring out this issue and try to probably blackmail the Turks.
All right. Well, a lot of interesting things have been taking place with this. I mean, in general, Brian, why has it taken so long? This has been a very strange case from the very beginning when it came out. We've had all kind of reaction from different parts of the world, but it took so long. It's been more than 6 weeks, after all. And where do you think this is going to go from here?
We're certainly at a key conjunction, juncture. I'm not sure how much support we're going to see in Syria in the Senate for stronger actions. What I would like to see, and this is only what I would like to see the Senate do, is to go beyond stopping refueling for Saudi fighter jets in the Yemen theater. I'd like to see an embargo on arms. I would like to see an embargo on intelligence. And I would like to see the U.S., the U.K., France, and perhaps some Sunni Gulf states lean on Saudi Arabia to say, this guy is unacceptable. This guy, of course, being Mohammed bin Salman. He is not only a murderer, he is, in my estimation, an overly ambitious prince who wants to grab hold of a great deal of power throughout the Middle East, stretching from Pakistan in the east all the way into the Maghreb in North Africa. I don't see him as in American national interests in the long run. President Trump and many people in Congress are going to listen to the Saudi checks. We all saw that picture of Mohammed bin Salman sitting in the Oval Office with the president holding up that chart showing where all the Saudi money went to all these various states. But there are more sober thinking people in American security bureaus who are just deeply suspicious about the overall competence of this administration and also about the long-run wisdom of having a very strong Saudi Arabia.
Well, let me just jump in here, Brian. You say that there are more reasonable or people who actually care more. But if we look at the situation in general, when we're talking about the money, the sheer money that is made, we look at the defense contractors, we look at, we have several oligarchs inside of the United States that are making tons of money in their deals with Saudi Arabia and actually have a lot of influence on American politics. So is it actually reasonable when we look at the millions, hundreds of millions of dollars that these American corporations and others are making, that in actuality the U.S. is going to turn away from Saudi Arabia? Or perhaps you think that they're just going to take one pawn out and put another in from the royal family?
Well, I think a change in the succession is probably the most the United States could hope to achieve. But, you know, getting back to this economic relations, there's two sides to that. You know, the Saudis own a lot of oil refineries and gasoline stations in the United States. If they want to play tough with economic trade, you know, those refineries could be nationalized and all those Shell and Atlantic 76 stations throughout the country, and it's in the tens of thousands. It's a company called Motiva. You know, they can be forced to divest.
Okay.
So, you know, I don't think the Saudis are quite as powerful. They're powerful. Don't make any mistake about it. But I don't think that they're nearly as powerful as some people think, if there is the courage in Washington to stand up to them.
Right. Well, Hossein, what do you think about that? I mean, what our guest said there in D.C. as far as them being powerful, not sure about being powerful, but the regime is rich. However, if now that the Saudis, well, what we've been seeing lately, we see that actually for this month, 500,000 barrels less of oil being sent to the United States, being sold to the United States by Saudi Arabia, seeming as a reaction to this whole fiasco that we have seen with this Khashoggi situation and others. Tell me the possible effect of all of this.
Well, first of all, it's very important to highlight on the fact that the Saudis are weaker than to take a strong stance against the U.S. Okay, because we know for a fact that as Mr. Trump said earlier, that Saudi Arabia will only cannot survive more than 2 weeks if the U.S. decides to leave Saudi Arabia alone. Therefore, today the major survival line for Saudi Arabia is the U.S. And on the other hand, in regards to economics and the money being sent to the U.S., today the Saudis, a lot of not only it's arms trade, it's politics as well. Today the U.S. is using Saudi Arabia for major issues in the region, most notably to stand against Iran, most notably for its foreign policy, what's going on in Yemen, what's going on in Iraq, what's going on in Lebanon. So I don't think that the U.S. Will try to look for regime change, because it doesn't make sense. I mean, they're milking Saudi Arabia. It only makes sense that Mohammed bin Salman's phase is over. They will probably in the next few days replace him with someone else. I mean, there are many other princes that are willing to take his role. However, we are still waiting for the Saudi side of the story, because we know the Saudis have been also bringing out all these theories. Every time we used to hurt the Turks, bringing out information, the Saudis would say their side of the story. Until now, the Saudis have remained silent. However, the relationship between the US and Saudi will continue at least for another decade or two, because the cow is still being milked, and there's billions of dollars to be made from the Saudis. Therefore, there is no regime change. There will be probably a change of face only.
So you think that, staying with you, Hossein, so you think that MBS will be changed?
I personally think he must be changed, because it doesn't make sense. I mean, if the biggest intelligence agency in the world has classified information that he was the person that gave the order to the killing of Khashoggi, then it's time for Mohammed bin Salman to say goodbye. And I think if we see his miseries in the region for the past 5-6 years, he's messed up. I mean, hardcore. So I think it's only time for him to say goodbye.
And Brian, your take on all this, how likely is all of this to backfire on the Saudis and also on the United States? Because as we said earlier, we've seen just today U.S. President Donald Trump basically still giving his support and saying Saudi Arabia is an exceptional ally.
Well, of course, President Trump's views change hour to hour. I do agree that the optimal situation is replacing Mohammed bin Salman. in the line of succession. Let's bear in mind that he's not very popular in Saudi Arabia. There are some 5,000 Saudi princes who feel slighted by him. Some of them have been imprisoned by him. I think they would want to see him leave. And I think you could see some, it's very close. We're at that juncture, as I said, where will the Senate get tough? But if one thing is clear in the American public over this is how much the U.S. public despises Saudi Arabia. They see them as decadent feudal princes who lord it up, manipulate oil prices, spread anti-Western, anti-American, and anti-Semitic ideologies throughout the entire Middle East. And suddenly they're Israel's and America's friends. Well, I don't trust them, and I don't think the American Senate should.
And Hossein, your take on all of this and where it's going, and our guest Brian talked about the American public, but we actually saw the majority of the hijackers for the 9/11 attack allegedly being Saudis. Nothing happened then, though some Americans made some noise. And even now, I mean, just this year, we saw a grand PR scheme by some American companies promoting Mohammed bin Salman, and as a matter of fact, trying to make him look very moderate. So now what? Are we really going to see a change? Not just MBS, but is it possible that the United States can actually demand a total change in the way that the Saudi regime does business?
Well, of course, a total change is impossible, as I said earlier, because the U.S. continues to benefit from Saudi Arabia, the richest country in the world. So as long as there is oil and as long as there is arms trade, as long as Saudi Arabia is close to the Israeli entity and is imposing all going through with all of the U.S. policy, it doesn't make sense that the U.S. should try to seek regime change in Saudi Arabia. However, today, most likely, new faces may emerge. As your guest said earlier, and it's become very obvious that Mohammed bin Salman is not very popular inside Saudi Arabia. I mean, he arrested hundreds of his cousins and took away their wealth. So today, the U.S. may be forced. It's not because the U.S. is a country that stands by human rights or stands by international rights. It's only because the U.S. today is forced to change Mohammed bin Salman, because the report was published on the Washington Post. It's become public. Everyone can read it. Mm-hmm. The whole world is talking about this. So therefore, Mr. Trump is forced to try to pressure Mohammed bin Salman to leave power. However, the question is, will he be sent to the International Criminal Court or not?
All right. And on that note, appreciate both of you for being with us, but we're at the end of the program. Journalist and political commentator Brian Downing out of Washington, D.C., and journalist and Middle East expert Hossein Al-Mousavi out of Beirut. And as always, viewers, we appreciate you being with us on another debate. I'm Marzia Hashimi. Hope to see you next time.